Thank you, Tracy. And I thought that song was just a great summary of our story series and reminding of us of who we are in Christ. So thank you for those worship songs. And if we haven't met before, my name is Rick, and I'm the lead pastor here at the church. And we've been talking about story for 10 weeks. And stories, they're told in books, told in movies. And so I'm going to give you the first line of a book or of a movie. And if you know what that is in your living room there, you just shout that out. Or if you're part of the YouTube chat there on Premiere, you go ahead. If you can type fast, you type that title in there. Okay, the first one comes from a book. You might recall this from your high school English class. The book begins with this line. When he was nearly 13... my brother Jem got his arm badly broken at the elbow. Do you remember that? That's To Kill a Mockingbird. What about this movie? Once upon a time, there was a lovely princess, but she had an enchantment upon her of a fearful sort, which could only be broken by love's first kiss. You remember that one? Shrek. Or what about this book? It's a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. Did you read that big novel, Pride and Prejudice? Okay, one last one. Another movie. The character begins with this line. Who am I? You sure you want to know? The story of my life is not for the faint of heart. That's Peter Parker in Spider-Man. The story of your life is not for the faint of heart. God knew that you could live out your story. And your story had a beginning, a journey that has taken you up until now, and a future that you will co-author with God. And it's been a great 10 weeks walking through this story journal. There were hundreds of us that did this individually on our own. And then we met in discipleship groups and we talked about the things in here that God was showing and teaching us. And then on Sundays in our worship gatherings, we talked about these themes. And so today we want to wrap it up. And so I want to talk to you about three things that God has taught us through our story series. The first one being, we've been reminded of God's good work in our past. We've all been reminded of God's good work in our past. Isaiah 51 reads, "Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord, consider the rock from which you were cut." In the words of the prophet there, Isaiah, we should look from the rock from which we're cut. We should look at our past, look at our upbringing, look at our story. And that's what we've done in this series. We've looked at the positive turns. We've looked at the negative turns. And we've seen God in the midst of that. We've seen His rescuing work. We've seen His redeeming work that He's done in our lives. Now, our past doesn't define us, but it does shape who we are today. And so, church, I applaud you for looking courageously under the hood. And I know that's tough to do. In fact, when we launched this story, I told you about the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. And I challenged you to not be afraid and to look under that hood. And a couple of you emailed me and you said, "Rick, I'm not sure I want to do that." It may arise and unearth certain emotions within me as I look back on some of those events. But church, you courageously stepped into it and you saw God in your story. And it's helped us to have a new perspective on our past. It's helped us to be reminded of some of the things that God has done in our lives in the past. You are brave. Our story journal compared our lives and the events of our lives to a house which has many rooms in it. And some of those rooms, we sometimes keep the door locked, the lights off, and we don't want to go in there. Because those were painful times, painful experiences. And it's all right, except when sometimes those locked rooms affect us today. They influence our emotions. They impact our attitudes. And they cause us to act in a certain way. And like that old definition of insanity, that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If one of those locked rooms is affecting us, we've got to do something about it. And church, I applaud you. Because many of us unlock those doors, turn on the lights, and we saw the gospel come into our hearts and our lives in new ways, penetrating to the very depths of our emotions and our soul. Jesus is the light, and the light dispels darkness. And you turned on the light. So thank you, Grace Pointers, for this journey together. As we looked into our past and we've seen God's redeeming work. Well, let me turn the microphone over to another Grace Pointer, Jenny, and we're going to watch a bit of her story of these last 10 weeks.
Hi, Grace Point. I just wanted to send a quick video just to recap what I took away from this series we've been going through. I think the biggest thing that it's helped me come to terms with is just self-reflection. There has been a lot that has gone on in my life in this past year and not a lot of time to deal with it or to really process everything that's happened to me. But by writing the story, like actually mapping out all of the different changes and the things that's happened, has really helped me to get some perspective on it and to see how God has been unfolding His plan in my life in ways that I wasn't expecting, and turning what seems like bad situations and bringing good out of them and fulfilling His promises through those things. It's been pretty incredible. And I don't know that I would have been able to see that without the intentional sitting down to actually map it out and look at it as a whole story. And what has been so obvious is just God's faithfulness through it all. It's been a huge encouragement and I've been very grateful. So thank you, Grace Point, for taking us through this series. It's been really good.
Well, thank you, Jenny, for sharing that with us. We've all been reminded of God's good work in our past. Now our lives aren't neat Christmas gifts with a bow on the top. They're messy. We are all under construction. But God is doing a good work. And this series has forced us to look into the internal scripts that we tell ourselves. Those eternal scripts are the things that we repeatedly, constantly tell ourselves, our story. But we've been reminded that we need to confront the lies with the truth. The truth of who God is, the truth of who we really are, as we just sang about. And one Grace Pointer, Lisa, she mentioned some of the things that impacted her. He pursues us relentlessly. I don't have to fear going home to my Father and confessing my sins, no matter what I have done or how many times I have done it. Remembering that God has me in this place for a reason helps me to wait patiently for His timing and His direction. Thank you, Lisa, for those quotes. So we've looked into our past. We've done some of the difficult work in looking under the hood. But also in revisiting our story, mapping it out, as Jenny just said, we've also been able to see the good points, the highlights, the positive turns, the times where God has guided it and directed us, where God has spoken, and we've rejoiced in those. So I want us to watch a video of another Grace Pointer, Craig, as he talks about that.
Hi, I'm Craig Sutton. The most meaningful part of the story journal for me was reflecting on my journey with God and remembering those times when He clearly spoke to me. Those times are rare, so they're very powerful. And I remember standing on my dad's deck and praying about this girl that I had a crush on. Her name's Linda, and I ended up marrying her. But at the time, I didn't want to just start dating for fun. I was looking to see if this was something God wanted me to do. And I remember just such a great feeling of peace, knowing that God had told me this was the woman I was going to marry. And I remember it as a time of great faith, because I knew I could trust God to guide my life, and of love, because I knew that He cared deeply about me. And so it's become a real signpost in my journey with God.
Thank you, Craig, for that testimony. We've been reminded of God's good work in our past. The second thing that God has taught us in the last 10 weeks is to keep looking to the future with eyes of hope. Philippians 3:12 reads, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." We've looked into the past in our story journal, but not everything was about the past. Some of it, we spent some of the weeks contemplating the future. What's our holy discontent? What am I passionate about? What wrong in this world do I want to see righted? And now that's a little tough to do in this time period because, well, we're in this worldwide pandemic. And the coronavirus has kind of taken the wind out of the sails of our dreams. But we've been reminded that our mission doesn't change regardless of circumstances. Oh yeah, the expression of the mission may be altered with societal restrictions and those kind of things, but our mission doesn't change. Day one in the story journal asked the question, "What's your favorite book or your favorite movie?" And I remember thinking, well, I like things with adventure. Or I like things where characters take risk. That's why I love the story of the prodigal son and the risking father. Or I love movies like the Bourne series or TV series like Blacklist. And friends, God has taken a risk on you. He's taken a risk on us as humanity. He's given us this gift of free will, a gift that we sometimes abuse, and we can reject His love and affection towards us. But God keeps risking. God keeps stepping forward. God keeps breaking into our stories to those who are open to look, to listen, to see. I want us to watch another video from a Grace Pointer. And this is what her D group leader wrote. "Michelle began attending Grace Point earlier this year. She did not know God. She came because a family member invited her to come. As she joined D Group and made friends at Grace Point, other people's stories of how God was leading them began to influence her thinking and pique her curiosity. Who was this God? Was He real? Does He make a difference? As she listened and explored further about the God who is there, she wondered if this God would impact some of the downturns in her own story. As people prayed and cared for her, she began to see God working in the mess of her life story. She came to experience God." Let's watch Michelle's story.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and I am a newcomer to Canada. I haven't been in touch with God before. 1 year ago, I go to Grace Point Church, and I saw a lot of people there. I joined a group. At first, I just feel I was going to sing and chat, but now I know God is really exists. When I lose confidence, He encouraged me. When I was sad, He came to bear it for me. When I was angry, He calmed me down. He is changing me and my life and my family. Now I try to pray everything, and I know God can hear it.
Wow, thank you, Michelle, for sharing part of your story. Encountering God, experiencing God. We talked about our past, talked about the future. And the third thing that God taught us the last 10 weeks is we need to lean upon Him with greater dependency. To lean upon God with greater dependency. That takes us to the present, today. Where are we at? And every day I ask God the same question. God, what are you teaching us? What are you showing us? What are you doing in the midst of this pandemic? I'm sure you've wondered about the same thing. What's God up to? And friends, though we don't see clearly at the moment, we know that God is up to something. And I truly believe that God is preparing us here at Grace Point for something great in the future. And He's using this time for us to get ourselves ready. Our hearts ready. Our minds ready. Our attitudes ready. Our character ready. Our walk with Him ready for what He's going to do. This is a season of waiting. And the Bible is full of stories of people waiting. People waiting for a child, like Abraham and Sarah in the book of Genesis, waiting for their promised child. And then all through the Old Testament, as the people of God are waiting for the promised Messiah. And then we come to the New Testament, Joseph and Mary waiting for their child to be born. And here we are in this season of Advent, and we are waiting. Now, waiting isn't a passive thing, right? Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. It's active. It's something we continually do. We wait upon God in this season. And like I said, the people in Israel, they were waiting for the promised Messiah. Like hundreds of years before Jesus was born. We read these words of prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. You see it there in the sermon notes in the Grace Point app, or you can open your own Bible to Isaiah chapter 9. And I can't get into all the context of that story, or that time period, excuse me, but it was a dark time. Just like in some ways, it's a dark time now with what's happening in our world. But in the midst of the darkness, this word of promise comes through. Isaiah 9 verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of promise there concerning Jesus, and four titles are given there for Jesus, that he is the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These names which are given to him. Parents, you gave names to your kid or kids. Do you ever wonder why certain parents come up with certain names? Like, you know, the family, Mr. and Mrs. Mann, like, why did they name their daughter Anita? She'd go through life, Anita Mann, Anita Mann. Or the registers. Of all the names for their kid, why do they choose the first name Cash? Really? Cash Register. Or the lady named Helen. who married a guy with the last name Back. And she said that kind of described those 10 years of marriage, Helen Back. Today, the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of life. And Jesus promises here in his word that he will be for us a wonderful counselor, mighty God, an everlasting Father. And I want us to focus upon that term, everlasting Father. See, the word Father conjures up all sorts of emotions for us. Maybe for some of you watching this, it's a positive emotion that you have fond memories with Dad, things you enjoy doing with Dad, Christmas celebrations with your father. For others of you, it stirs up all sorts of negative emotions, hurts, pain. Maybe you never knew your dad. Maybe there was abuse. But I want to remind you today that Jesus is your perfect parent, your eternal, everlasting Father. See, you may have grown up with an absent father who is never there, or an emotionally distant father. Maybe he was there, but he never noticed. He never hugged you, never said, I loved you. And that perhaps has certain implications for your life. Maybe that's why you find it difficult to trust these days or to get close to people. But the good news of Christmas, friends, is Jesus came to this earth. Are you sick of Zoom these days? We got Zoom meetings and Zoom D group. And let me remind you, Jesus didn't Zoom it in from heaven. He came to this earth as flesh and blood, as a baby. He became one of us. And Jesus, as he went around teaching, he taught this parable. It's a well-known parable in Luke chapter 15 about a father who has two sons. And one of the sons takes the inheritance money and squanders it. And then Jesus, as he tells this story, he says, while he was still a long way off, he's referring to the youngest son, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Oh, that one verse says so much. His father saw him. Dad must have been scanning the horizon, looking perhaps at the edge of the fence, you know, waiting. When is my son going to come back from the foreign country? When is he going to return home? And then Jesus said, when he saw him, he ran to him. Wow. A Middle Eastern dad running. He lifts up his cloak, exposing his bare legs. And he doesn't care about the shame or the embarrassment. His son is coming home. And he embraces him. And Jesus is telling us, I'm like that dad in the story I just told you. He went to the cross. He bore that scorn and shame for you. That's how much he loves you. See, maybe you grew up with a dad who was like a time bomb. You know, tick, 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 tick. You never knew how dad was going to act or react. Good day at work, you get good mood, dad. Bad day at work, you get bad mood, dad. And maybe alcohol just intensified some of those negative emotions. And maybe as a result, because you grew up in a home of instability, you crave for stability. In fact, you're a control freak because you want so much security, having had it lacked in your upbringing. Or maybe you're anxious as a result of that, or have trouble trusting people, including trusting God. But let me remind you from the scripture, your dad may have flown off the handle, but God isn't like that. Exodus 34, verse 6, I put on your outline. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And that expression there, slow to anger, refers to long nostrils. That's what it means, literally. Long nostrils. Because are you ever in an argument with somebody and you kind of look at their face and maybe you see their nose and it's kind of pulsing, you know? It's the nostrils. And what do they tell us to do when we're angry? You know, we're supposed to take deep breaths through our nose. That Jesus has long nostrils. He's slow to anger. He doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't have a short fuse. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. Let me ask you, do you see God that way? Or do you live in fear of God? Fearful of His anger. This Christmas season, come to this God who is for you, who loves you. Or maybe you had a parent who is never satisfied. It was never enough. You got all A's and you get a B, and well, all they point out is the B. And you always felt that you had to achieve, to in a sense prove your worth. And maybe you take that now into life, your own identity, maybe other relationships, maybe your relationship with God. And you always wonder, am I doing enough for God? Does God really love me? Look at how I'm acting. One of the most meaningful verses for me during this story series was from Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Wow. Just like we sang to God a few minutes ago. God sings over you. Your story is one of God's singing over you. Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Friends, come to Him. This Christmas season, in the midst of the anxious time, come to this one whom Isaiah declares as the Prince of Peace. Next Sunday, we begin our Christmas series. We're calling it Fear Not, based on the Christmas narratives, where the angel shows up and encounters people. Four times we see it there in the Gospels, and four times, and we'll cover that in the three Sundays and on Christmas Eve. The angel gives that message, don't be afraid or fear not. Very timely message for where we live and now in this pandemic. And I trust you're going to come by in a few minutes to get your Advent bag, and we'll have all the instructions in there that you can grow closer to God in this Christmas season. Do you yearn to matter in your life? Do you feel you need to earn the Father's approval? I say, come to Him. He sent His Son to this earth, born in a manger. And this one Jesus grew up and died on the cross for you, that you can live in relationship with Him. From your first day, your opening line, in a sense, when the doctor said, it's a boy or it's a girl, to today, God has been watching over you. Live in that relationship with Him. From this day forward, until you see Him, and this one Jesus embraces you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I don't know, maybe when you see Him in heaven, He'll say, I liked your story. because he co-authored the story with you. Until that day, friends, let's experience him. Live in relationship with the one who passionately loves us. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we never want this story to get old. The story of you coming to this earth. May it again cause us awe and wonder this Advent season. May our hearts and our lives be changed because you came. In your name I pray. Amen.